And let's keep one another in our prayers. You know, things, and one of the reasons for having brethren and sisters, especially in Christ, is to be able to draw strength from one another and to pray for one another. So let's keep each other and be in contact some with each other and see if there's something that we can help each other with. You know, I know Candace is away today. She called last night. She's at a doctor's appointment. But, you know, she had a while back asked for prayers of the congregation because of a domestic, you know, thing at home. And so, you know, it's just these things in each of our lives come up. So let's keep each other in our prayers. And when we see a need, you know, ask if there is something that we can do to help meet that need. There was another person. Lauren's out of town. Okay, so we need to pray for her safe return. And as we finish up prayer, a way of life. We were talking about prayer, that we ought to pray, and that God wants us to, because it's for our good. And that's our way of talking to our God. He talks to us through His Word. His Word is vital to our life. And to the goodness of our life. And so is prayer. Prayer is vital for good spiritual health. And so we ought to pray. And we finished up on about the way of life of prayer in that we should be rejoicing, you know, that we should give thanks in everything, even when we're suffering some of the anxieties of this life. We shouldn't be overcome by that anxiety, but we should rejoice in the blessings that we have and ask God to help us, as we prayed a while ago for the family, and then to have the strength, you know, to endure, and to and we should ask for that also, to endure, to remain steadfast in faith, no matter what the situations of life might bring. And it says it's because the Lord is near. How much more security do we need than that? The Lord is near, and He cares. Remember, we studied about that He cares for me. He wants what's good for me. He's done everything in His power, and still, oh, come in here, to come in to do that which is good for us, and He answers our prayers. That is the great secure, and that we can be assured of. God hears and answers our prayer. And so we need to pray for one another. We need to have earnest prayer. We're only going to look at a few songs to finish up this course, this lesson on prayer. And as a teacher, it's my right to change the numbers. And so let's get a songbook and turn. We will read page 69. So let's do that. And I'm going to have, Lisa, would you read the song, page 69, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. We sing a lot of songs about prayer, and we sing a lot of songs that give us comfort about God and about Christ. But I chose this one because of the words that we sing. And I want us to look at them because when we sing, it's worship. And do we mean it in our hearts? And do we maybe sometime in our devotion time, in our study time, in our prayer time, maybe need to think about the words of this song that will help us? Okay?
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grace to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we did not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? discouraged, take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, covered with the light of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms, he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find the solace there.
Aren't those wonderful thoughts? And they're all true thoughts. And we sing those, and we should sing those with assurance. We should sing those with thanksgiving. We should sing those and meditate on those with a heart of caring and appreciation and determination. You know, we get in the throes of problems in this life, or we get ill with something, we get overwhelmed so with problems, you know, that come in our life. And do we really, in the midst of that, take time to pray, to think about all that Christ has done for us, to think about the loving kindness of God, and to you know what it says here? What needless pain we bear. Sometimes we get so anxious, or we get so overwhelmed and overwrought with these things that's going on, that we do suffer pain and anguish that we need not if we just took time to meditate on God's Word and spend that time that we're fuming, you know, in prayer, okay? Or a step back and get with God and one-on-one with God, you know, talking to Him and letting Him comfort us. That's what it talks about, you know, that this, we get comfort. Any other thoughts in here that especially speak to you know, to things that help you?
Just the, one of the part of the passage in the first verse is what needless pain we bear because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We put so much unnecessary burden on ourselves, thinking that we can fix everything ourselves. And if we could just learn to give it up, talk to Him, and let Him take that burden and that pain away as much, you know, as we will let Him. So that's the thing. We feel like we're in control, and we don't let Him comfort us. And we don't let other, our brethren comfort us as well. We hold it all in when it's unnecessary, and we suffer more because of it.
Very, very good. I had that thought myself, and I'm so glad, you know, that you mentioned that much better than I would have. Everything to God in prayer. Sometimes we divide up what we're going to talk to God about. You know, this is, we're going to take care of this, and this new job's going to take care of that, and, you know, if it's a money situation, you know, and all this kind of thing. But we don't talk to God about everything, you know. We think it's just a few things, and we pick and choose what we're going to talk to God about. And so, you know, if we took everything, every care, every concern, and thanksgiving, you know, sometimes we get so caught up in asking God for something that we forget to thank Him for all the wonderful things. I mean, just the breath that we breathe, you know, whether it's in pain every now and then or not, you know, we have to checklist ourselves, you know. Am I doing all this complaining, and what am I thanking Him for? Any other thoughts? Okay, then let's turn to page 107. We don't sing this a whole lot, but and like I say, the book is so full of songs that we sing to help us and to comfort us, but this is Pray All the Time. And I would like for someone you want to read just the stanzas, not the chorus, please. Anyone?
The world has lost the right of prayer, and saints have failed to pray. What loss sustained beyond repair, how blind of heart are they? The Father speaketh in the Word. He talks no other way. And to converse with Him, or Lord, we must take time to pray. There is no trial, grief, or pain, no moment of the day, but that we may, in Jesus' name, incline our souls to pray.
Isn't that true? And then the chorus talks about praying in the morning, praying at the noontime, praying in the evening, pray all the time. Pray when you're happy. Pray when you're in sorrow. Pray when you're tempted. Pray any time. And, you know, growing up, we used to sing this in the congregation that I went to all the time, you know. And it was one of my grandmother's favorite songs because, and not only did she sing it at home sometime, I'd hear her washing dishes and singing this song, you know, but I saw my grandmother and my mom. I mean, you could tell that they were in the mode of prayer, whether they were cooking, whether they were washing dishes, whether my grandmother was sitting in her chair with her Bible, you know, at evening. Those kinds of things, it was a great blessing for me to grow up seeing that. And hopefully my children saw that in me. But I tried to teach my children that prayer is just not something you do at the dinner table, or that you know, it's a good thing to start with your young children praying at night. But do they hear you say, and do they see you when things during the day come up and, you know, go to prayer or to be thankful? You know, this is a beautiful day. If you're out on a walk with them, you know, children love bugs. They like the birds. They like the fish. They like all the things around them. They are such full of wonder. And, you know, just to talk to them about God and His creation and thank God for that, you know, and to make them aware that they and you acknowledge the Savior and God and Lord of the universe, but that you talk to Him, you know. And, you know, people, I think we as grown-ups sometimes think that we look silly, or that we feel foolish if we're, you know, doing this. But someone said they're just too embarrassed, you know, sometimes to say things like, I'm so thankful for, in public to someone else. You know, they feel awkward about that. Well, we as God's blessed people should not feel awkward about that, and should practice, you know, praising God and thanking God and any time during the day. Any other thoughts on this or any other place? Okay, turn the page back. One page, 106. We're going to finish our thing on prayer unless anyone has something to add from the lesson that they would like to clarify, ask questions about, disagree. It's okay. You know, we're here to learn and to help one another. Yes.
It's not in this songbook. If there is a song, and I cannot remember the name of it, I'm sure it's probably in the verse I'm fixing to read, but it's just a little talk with Jesus, tell Him all about our troubles. It's one of the older songs that we don't sing anymore, but it's true. It's, you know, tell Him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, and He will answer. So even the smallest things, He wants to know about it. He knows.
Of course He does.
Yeah, it's like the song up there. He knows and He cares. He knows already. But He wants us to pray, to ask Him.
That's right. That's right. Because it's for our good. You know, it's not because he needs the adoration. He doesn't need that. Remember we talked about that when he is God? He doesn't need that from us.
Well, it's also us showing the faith we have in him by asking.
Mm-hmm. And it keeps us with humility. It keeps us, you know, with a heart of trusting. It shows that we trust in him, like you were saying. But it keeps us in the right frame of mind. It puts us with the right view of life that James talks about. You know, not putting us up here, I can do everything, I am my own God, as the people who don't trust in God and who do not depend on him. You know, they depend on themselves, as Israel did, and why even God said that he did the things the way he did so that their armies wouldn't say, by my might, you know, we did this and that, or by my power, we did thus and that. And so, you know, God wants us to acknowledge him because he is the Lord, and we, he's the, you know, the potter, and we are the clay, as we studied in one of the verses. Okay, any other thoughts? Page 106. This is a prayer. We sing quite a few prayers. And, you know, we can, David's, the Psalms, the book of Psalms in our Bible are prayers. Songs and praise, prayers. But this song, to me, is something that a Christian can look at, and we can, it's not just, I need this, I need that, but it goes outside of me. It comes back to me because it shows my heart and how I want my heart to be. But this, to me, is an attitude of prayer that we should strive to manifest. I know I need this. If I have wounded any soul today, if I've caused one foot to go astray, if I have walked in my own willful way, dear Lord, forgive. If I have uttered idle words or vain, if I have turned aside from want or pain, lest I myself shall suffer through the strain, dear Lord, forgive. Forgive the sins I have confessed to thee. Forgive the secret sins I do not see. O guide me, love me, and my keeper be, in Jesus' name. Any thoughts?
Yes. This is one of the Psalms also I sang growing up. Sometimes we would sing it for a closing prayer. It's good sometimes, you know. I know sometimes we need to just pray, but I enjoy singing this sometimes for a closing prayer.
Yes, yes. And it is wonderful, you know, for us to go to God with these thoughts in ending our day. Not only, you know, asking for things or, you know, for help, but forgiveness for these things and reaching out towards how you and how I impacted other people that day and how I lived my life that day. Was it to the glory of God? Okay. Any other thoughts? Okay, lesson 4. Who needs a lesson 4? Does anyone? Okay. I can grow, I can understand, I can do better. And before you put your song books away, we're going to begin with a song. Okay? The page is 352. It's going to lead into our lesson. 352. Deanna, would you read that, please?
More holiness give me, more strivings within, more patience in suffering, more sorrow for sin, more faith in my Savior, more sense of His care, more joy in His service, more purpose in prayer. More gratitude give me, more trust in the Lord, more pride in His glory, more hope in His word, more tears for His sorrows, more pain in His grief, more meekness in trial, more praise for relief. More purity give me, more strength to overcome, more freedom from earth stains, more longings for home. More fit for the kingdom, more useful I'd be, more blessed and holy, more Savior like thee.
Okay. What a prayer. More, 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 more. More to be like thee. We sing it those songs, you know. And more to be like Jesus. But when we say those words, do we really think about what we're saying? And as it says, more holiness give me. How is God, when we ask, this is a prayer, more holiness give me, more patience, more, faith in my Savior. How is God going to answer my prayer? Number one. How? If I'm asking God for this, do we expect God to fulfill this? Do we expect God to answer this prayer that we're praying? Do we expect God to answer that? What are we going to do about it? We're going to sit on the pew, or we're going to sit in our chair at home and just expect God's little light to shine down one day? How is God going to answer this prayer if I'm saying more faith in my Savior, more sense of His care, more joy in His service? What's that going to take of me? What's that going to take?
We try harder, like, for example, more joy in His service. You've got to be happy and not down all the time. Be more pure.
Okay.
Try to be more pure.
Okay, and how are we going to... Let's begin. Let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And the third chapter. Ephesians 3. We'll just go through the lesson. We've asked God to help us to be better. That's the reason I can grow. I can understand. I can do better. Okay? I don't have to be just the same old, or I don't have to fail where I failed before. We ask forgiveness. We ask the Lord to help us to grow. We pray that all the time, you know. So, let's see what we can do. Ephesians 3:3-4, and chapter 4, 11-16. Sharon, would you read, please?
Now let my revelation be made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And 4:11-16. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
Thank you. So, what is Paul's promise to his readers? To us. Okay? In Ephesians 3:3-4, what is his promise?
That we can understand.
What can we understand?
The mystery of Christ.
Mystery of Christ. And you know what he also says? Do you also see that he said that what he wrote down was from God? It's not just what Paul understood by his, you know, thinking about these things and things like that. What I got from God, I wrote down. And you know what? You can understand those things that God gave me. You can understand them. And then he goes, you know, goes on and talks to the Ephesians about that. Okay? Any other thoughts on this passage or the context of which it's talking about? Okay, in Ephesians 4, of course, you know, he starts out the chapter, therefore. He's talked about all the blessings that's been in Christ Jesus. Okay? And that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. When we read, it's not going to zap into, we were talking about prayer a while ago, about praying for more faith. Through faith comes by reading and understanding God's Word. Okay? So, in chapter 4, he talks about the walk that's worthy of all that Christ has done for us. Okay? That shows that to be worthy. Okay? Now, and he talks about the one faith and all of that and the one God. And then he comes down to what Christ did and gave after he went and sat down at the right hand of God for his kingdom. And so, what he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, why? Did God, Christ, in his wisdom, give those things to the early church? Why? What's it say there? For?
The equipping of the saints.
The equipping of the saints.
For the work of service.
For the work of the ministry or service.
The building up of the body.
The building up of the body. Unto?
Unto unity of the faith.
A unity of the faith and a mature man. How can we grow? The apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the workers, we grow. You know, we can utilize all these things that Christ himself sent and set in place so that we come to a mature person. And there are many other passages that we can talk about. But, you know, and then it comes down there, no longer be children. No longer be children. And so, you know, but that you grow. And we're going to talk about that in 1 Peter. So, that you grow, okay? So, to grow up into Him in all things. Any other comments or any thoughts that you all had on that passage? Okay, let's turn over to 1 Peter then. You know, that isn't it a wonderful thing? Paul wrote Ephesians. Peter, of course, is writing Peter. And so let's see, you know, do they speak the same things? Do they talk about the same things? Or do they have the same answer for man's problem about a need for growth and edification and becoming mature and putting away things? Let's see. In 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Sandra, would you read that?
As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby.
Okay. What am I to long for or desire? And why? What you put?
The milk of the word that I may grow.
The milk of the word that I might grow. Well, people say, well, what's the milk of the word? It's the word of God, isn't it? Hmm? And the sincere milk of the word, that I may grow unto salvation. You see, this is our goal. to be mature, to be more like Christ, to grow unto salvation, more and more like Jesus, more to the complete person, more to serve, more to bring glory to the Father in Christ, more to grow. And so it's attitude and it's action on and how I am to do that. And remember, in lesson one, we looked at in detail the verses in Psalm 19 about what the Word of God is and the blessings that you get from it. There in Psalm 19. We're not going to take the time to go back, but, you know, on how it can bless our lives in so many ways. The Word of God, you know. And one of the things we will mention, make wise the simple. Okay. And so, the Word of God. Any other thoughts on that? Yes.
I think in other parts of our lives, it's so clear. If you want to learn something new, you may take a class, you may check out a book. If you want to become a doctor, you don't just buy the book. You don't just sit in class. You go home and bury yourself in that information. If you want to learn the will of God, you can't just buy the book and go sit on the pew. When you get home, you have to bury yourself in that information or you're not going to grow. That's so clear in other things in our life. We know how to gain other knowledge. But for some reason, we want to take the easy way out when it comes to this book.
And when we take the test at the end, if we miss it, you know, it's not just, well, you know, I missed that and go on and forget about it. Most of the time, the professors or we want to find out, okay, I missed that one, you know. Let's go back and check and get it right. We don't do that sometimes when we mess up or we fail to recognize the truth about something, or we don't utilize that truth in our lives. We don't exit off, you know, ask God to forgive us and go back and, okay, I'm going to redo that. I'm going to relearn this and I'm going to do it right this time, or I'm going to try to do it better.
Yes.
Okay? Very good thought.
Also, looking at that verse, the word that popped out to me was pure. And I don't know if I was reading it wrong or reading it differently, but to me that meant the truth. You know, the real truth is to search and to study and to grow. Whereas as the lesson continues, it mentions, I can't remember exactly what it was, but don't follow those who are incorrect. Don't, you know, you need to study, you need to learn. And
exactly.
That's where the pure, that just word just popped out to me is, you learn in the mystery.
That's right.
And, you know, you will learn that.
That's right.
You will understand and you will grow. But learn the truth. The truth. But, I don't know. Maybe I'll look into it with you.
No, that's very good. In fact, over there in Psalms 19, did I say? Yes. Verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. Okay? The testimony of the Lord is sure. The precepts of the Lord are right. The commandment of the Lord is pure. Okay? Enlightening the eyes. And it restores the soul. It makes wise the simple. It rejoices the heart. Here we go with another reason to meditate on God's Word in a time when our heart is down. You know, turn and read the Bible. Read the stories of old. Read the Psalms. Read about the people who have overcome and have suffered the same things. People today aren't any different than the people of old. They suffered the same heartaches. They suffered the same setbacks. they suffered at the hands of unrighteous, wicked people. And so, you know, see how God encouraged them. See how God, men of faith, overcame that. Or see their faith and hope if it did not happen in their lifetime, but they look forward to something better. We have that in Abraham. So, you know, the Word of God is sure and right and pure and true. Yes, dear.
I think also a lot of people, especially people that, you know, are of denominations, they are constantly reading, like, commentaries and people's interpretation of the Bible, and a lot of times they miss what the Bible's saying because they don't actually, they're not actually studying God's Word, which is the source. So if they would spend more time, you know, studying God's Word, then, you know, perhaps they would see how false a lot of the people's commentaries and interpretations can be.
That's true. I walk in sometimes to the Way of Life, a bookstore down here, and there are so many books on the shelves that they're calling religious books, self-help books, you name it, you know, written by men and women, and very few choices on translations of the Bible, okay? And they have all their, and it's not to say that some thoughts in some of those books might be good, but nothing compares. And nothing, you know, if you're going to spend time and you've only got this amount of time to do it, better be in the book that's sure and pure than reading something that some man wrote that did not have the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so, very, very good point. Anybody else? Yes.
Well, Stephen and I did the 90-day reading through the scriptures. And it's amazing when you read it in a short period of time how much you gain. You think you, and you know a lot of this, but there's so many things that you remember, and it's, since it's condensed, and people, and it takes about 45 minutes to an hour a day if you read it through in 90 days. And we think, man, that's a lot of time. How much time do we spend reading the paper? How much time do we spend watching the news, the television? How much time do we spend on our hobbies and things like that? But what it does is this is a whole picture. And we get busy with studies like this, and Steve's teaching Joshua through Ruth. We get in little sections, and we forget the whole overall picture. That it started in Genesis, that God had a plan from the very beginning, and we see how he carries that plan out from beginning to end. And so I think if we would do that at least once a year, maybe even twice a year, if we would set a habit, okay, I'm going to read for 30 minutes, I'm going to start in Genesis, and I'm going to read through, and I'll read as far as I can. It takes you 6 months, 9 months, whatever it takes. But if you read it, trying to keep it in the whole context, even with other Bible study, I mean, I know we have other Bible study to do, but we get so involved in topics and, or maybe picking one book, and we get so focused on that we lose sight of the bigger picture. And I think that's a big mistake, because we get in, and we even get wrapped up in what's going on in our little life right now. And then when you go back and you see how God dealt with Israel, and his promises came true, the blessings as well as the curses. And so that makes me remember, I better not get too busy. I better not get too involved. I better not get too wrapped up. I better not listen to my friend. I better not listen to other counsel. I better listen to God's counsel.
Exactly.
And so, you know, how long have we been Christians, and how many times have we read God's Word all the way through? And how many times do we intend to do it before we die? Whatever time God gives us. And it's real easy to say, I don't have time today. But you have time for other things.
And even in my topic studies, when I'm reading the Bible through like that and everything, I get so excited. You come across the passage that you've been looking for and looking for, you know, and everything like that. And man, I can't wait to get over there and write it down, you know, because I had been trying to think of that, you know, back over here when I was reading over here. And so, you know, you like that's it. You learn new things and the light goes on, you know, again. are, you know, you sort of knew that, but then it's refreshed and it's new and it has new meaning because you've grown in other ways or you're at a different place in your life and you can think of the new ways that this affects your life. Okay, very good. We are going to stop there. Okay, and we will pick up, Lord willing, Romans 12, number 2, and lesson 4. I'm so glad that everybody was able to make it today. We're all a blessing, and I appreciate the comments. They've been wonderful. They've been so encouraging to me, and I really appreciate that.